you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, guys, we're back.
Episode 2, Martinis and Murder.
I'm Darren.
And I'm John.
I'm the martini of the group and you're the murder.
That's a good way to put
it. If we were to assign characters.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay,
although,
good.
After last week's episode, it seems like you were the most... You were setting yourself up to be
freaked
murdered.
Freaked out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think that's a good way to actually start this part of it. Again, we're drinking martinis. In fact, Matt, we do need a refill.
A refill.
Yeah,
yes.
We do need a little bit
now,
of a refill.
Now, we did
want
to do
one.
A new martini on this week's episode because it's the same topic.
It's still stiff as a dead body.
Stiff as a dead body.
Needs to, exactly. There we go. There's that muscle. I like it.
We need a little like microphone by the tumbler or whatever over there. Just so it has its own
tumbler.
It has its own line. So here's my drink, Matt, if you want to.
Refill us. Yeah. Let's get this thing going. Last week, we actually left you guys off with a terrifying phone call. And for anyone who has looked this up on the FBI's YouTube or just in YouTube in general, I hope you understood what I was talking about with the imagery. And I hope you could sleep at night.
Yeah.
But just for anyone who's coming in today, we're just going to play a little bit of that snippet of a phone call of the East Area Rapist, who we will continue to discuss today. So play it.
Okay, so yeah, that's terrifying still, even a week later.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping there's some audio engineer that can clear that up for us out there who's going to be listening to like...
Wouldn't it be funny if they like listened in and it was like an episode of Friends? Well, I guess not in the 70s, but
what's an episode from the 70s? That's so quaint. You're the only person I know that could compare the East Area Rapist and bring it to Friends.
Yeah. But you know, like what if it's just like some show we all love in the background while he's like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, exactly. Dun-dun-dun-dun, Seinfeld in the background. Exactly. Exactly. I love it.
So yeah, Matt's making us a refill. We're all set up for a new episode of Martinis and Murder. We hope you guys love this first episode. We had so much fun making it. And we're going to get into some more fun, disgusting, terrifying details.
We're going to get through the evolution of him
and
now.
And theories.
And just to recap, to give you guys the most important fact is thank you so much for the martini.
Oh,
actually, before
you,
we get started, let's do a little cheers.
Oh, another cheers.
You know, a nice way to start it off.
Ding,
thank you, ding, ding.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, the bartender, and also my boss.
Not mine, though.
Not your boss.
So I'm great.
I've got
no liability here. According to the FBI, the East Area Rapist is responsible for 12 homicides,
yes,
45 rapes, and more than 120 burglaries.
And sorry, not to interrupt you, but we should mention, if you haven't listened to episode one, you probably should go back
probably
and do that
should,
now. Yeah.
But this is just to give you setting the scene.
Exactly.
If you will.
And plus, you'll get to know, you know, what drink we're drinking, things like that. There's a Winnie the Pooh reference.
There's a lot of good stuff in the first episode.
Lots of good stuff in that first episode. So if you don't, we might be referencing things from that episode. So if you just started listening, listen to episode one. Don't listen to episode two right away.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't you take this first part? Because I think it's very interesting, all this, you know, where he ends up going.
So he started out in Northern California. We were saying he started on the east side of Sacramento, hence the name East Area Rapist.
Yeah.
But for those of you who have ever heard of this man, or have done a little research yourself, you've also probably seen him in connection with the name the original Night Stalker. And that's because as he moved down California to Southern California, where Los Angeles is, mm-hmm. They began to call him that. And so in your research, you're probably going to be seeing both of those names.
Right.
But for our purposes, we're just going to stick with calling him the East Area Rapist.
And
but
why did they find? Why did they eventually link those names?
Why, clever you ask, John Thrasher.
I just want to make sure that that everyone knows.
So authorities actually didn't know. So these a lot of these, in fact, he was most active in the 70s.
Yeah.
And authorities didn't know for sure that the original Night Stalker and the East Area Rapist were the same person.
Yeah.
Until advances in DNA actually linked them to be the same person in 2001.
Yeah.
So this is like 30 years later, well, 25 years later, yeah. that they figured out it was the same person. Like,
So basically, to set this up, just to, in other words, I should say, there are all these different murders, rapes, everything going on.
Yes.
Basically, Southern California was like in crisis because it was happening after, I guess, what was going on in Northern California.
Everyone in Southern California thought they were so safe and so cool living that LA life.
Yeah.
They weren't in Sacramento. And then
they find out later on there's this one person.
Equal opportunity rapist murderer.
There you go. That's a good way to put it.
Absolutely.
There's a new name for him that we just came up with.
Equal opportunity rapist murderer.
Murderer.
It flows off the tongue.
It's so nice. What a beautiful title. But yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Moves down to Southern California and starts attacking there. He was actually almost caught on his first attack. I don't know if you knew this.
No,
but
I didn't, actually.
Which is kind of crazy to think about that he was almost caught because none of this would have happened. And we probably
wouldn't have a show.
So I guess it was a weird lesson.
Say thank you.
I feel it's uncomfortable
Are
to say thank
happy
you.
Happy about this?
But basically, the victims were actually tied. The victims were tied up, but the woman's feet that he tied up weren't tied well.
Oh, right.
And then, so she got to make a dash for the front door.
Oh my God.
She escaped.
Yeah.
She makes a dash for the front door. Remember, he's attacking couples at this point.
Right.
So it's a man and a woman. He caught her. He pushed her down. And he's an athletic male, overbearing, 5'8", 6 feet tall. So he attacks her. And the boyfriend had managed to hop off the bed and hop into the – while he's basically, attacking the woman who's trying to escape, the guy is not being watched after. So he manages to escape, hops off the bed into the backyard through a sliding glass door, and he begins screaming in order to,
attract attention to
distract –
away
from the woman so that way he would start attacking the guy, I think, in order to let the woman go free. So he just starts screaming. Also – you hear someone screaming in the yard. Let's hope someone would kind of pay attention to that. Maybe more people would come
you
over.
You would hope so.
Yeah. I mean, it's not for sure if he was trying to distract from the woman, but I kind of think that he was, being chivalrous in this
point.
As
we play this out in our heads,
So the East Area Rapist left the woman, went to go get the guy who was screaming in the backyard, and then she began screaming near the front door. Yeah. This is sort of
so now there's two people
there's just
screaming.
Two
their heads
people
off.
Screaming. He's probably flipping out. He just bailed on the whole situation. He was like, I clearly can't.
There's no win here.
There's no
I'm
win.
I'm going to get caught.
They're already outside. So he gets on his bike, which is like, there's so juvenile about it.
Yeah.
And if you kind of remember from last week, the fact that he had. First off, he's young, but the fact that he had said mommy and started crying after a bunch of these things and then escapes on a bike.
Are you kidding?
The imagery of it, it's just like, was he a paper boy? Like, there's just so many weird things about it. So shockingly enough, with this first attack in Southern California, the neighbor of this couple happened to be an FBI agent and saw him riding off very, very quickly.
Right. So I guess the FBI agent had heard all the screaming.
Yeah. Looked out the window.
Looked out the
done
window
something,
at just the right time, whatever.
Perhaps.
Right. Okay.
Saw this guy escaping, gets on his bike, runs off.
Yeah.
An FBI agent being an FBI agent, gets in his car. And starts pursuing him.
So I always wonder, we know that this happened, but I'm so curious. I wish we could find out somehow if the FBI agent had a gun on him. Or if there was a gun in the car.
But, as an FBI agent, can you just, whip out your gun and start shooting? You can?
Well,
even,
maybe
like,
not. I don't know about that. I don't know the answer to that question. But I feel like I always hear, maybe this is just television and movies, but an FBI agent, in my mind, always has, a gun or always has some kind of,
sunglasses and a suit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, he's always prepared. He or she is always prepared to, chase down the suspect. Yeah, you would think so.
I mean, but think about it. East Area Rapist is in a bike. An FBI agent is in a car,
right.
And this guy catches up with him,
right.
Catches him in his headlights. The East Area Rapist ditches his bike and pursues this whole thing on foot and escapes. He hops over fences and he manages to get away, which Still blows my mind. I mean, if you think about a neighborhood, I guess a car can't go everywhere. But like the fact that he had this guy in his headlights and still managed to escape just says to me that the East Area Rapist definitely knew the neighborhood.
And my question for you and for us to talk about right now is, could there have been someone VIP who didn't want this guy to get caught? Because here's the thing.
Like, was he the son of someone important?
Yeah. Like, was he a family member that, like, you know, people were trying to protect? What? I mean, think about what's going on here. He's now done everything he's done up in Sacramento as the East Area Rapist. He moves down to Southern California. So he's basically escaped that whole scenario up there. They're not going to be able to physically find him the same way, obviously, up there as now that he's in Southern California. He comes and attacks this couple. And now you have three grown adults, one of whom is an FBI agent, who are unable to, you know, I'm putting in quotes here, scare quotes, unable to get this man, you know, under control. I just find that so crazy that, and unlikely that three grown people were not able to get this guy under control and catch him.
But like, that's possible. And I guess that's possible, but it's also crazy to me that now he's in a completely different area.
Right.
You know, like he's in a completely different area of California.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. That's a very good point. It seems very odd that he was never even brought down.
The other thing is think about, you know, he obviously knows the neighborhood. It's, you know, within his other cases, he has other escape routes where he knew the exact way to go on
his. It's kind of clever riding a bike.
No, and think about it. You know, the types of people who know neighborhoods and streets are, you know, I don't want to say law enforcement, but people that are public servants of some kind. I don't know. It just seems like there has to be some connection.
They would know all the alleyways. They would know all the.
It's just awkward to me that hasn't ever really come up, especially on Reddit, as I'm like playing around on Reddit and.
Right. And places. Especially if he's jumping over fences. Right. Like, how do you. He must have known that he was going to be protected by doing that as opposed to going into a huge crowd, you know, like, oh, I'm in Times Square. Like, you'd think he would know that he was, like, the protected other thing is, in some sort of way.
If you're targeting and, like, stalking and, like, you know where you're going, would you attack the house next to an FBI agent? Because...
But he is cocky. Remember that. Like, he is, I mean, we can't say for sure. This is all speculation. But even the fact... Even that town hall thing that we were mentioning
in the first episode,
you know, and the fact that he had stuck around, maybe had a sandwich, had a beer, you know, these like weird, odd mementos. I mean, this guy.
And now he's expanding in Southern California. Maybe he's trying to push it a little bit more.
And remember, for those of you who didn't listen to episode one, and I highly suggest you should.
I can't believe
he had a really small penis. This guy is compensating for something.
For something.
So
that's
maybe
a good point.
He's like, if I can escape an FBI agent, I can really get away with everything. Again, small penis.
If there's one thing you take away from these two parts,
it's that he has a small penis.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not the homicides.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Well, let's talk about how he was getting away from authorities. I think that's something we should definitely hit on. So back in Sacramento on December 10th, 1977, he called the sheriff's department and said, quote, I'm going to hit tonight Watt Avenue.
Can you give me a little bit more of a menacing? Like, I don't want your normal voice.
You're right.
Ready? December 10th, 1977, calls the sheriff's department and says,
I'm going to hit tonight Watt Avenue.
Thank you.
And by the way, if they give Emmys away for podcasts, I think I just won.
Yeah, I think that Golden Globe for sure.
Golden Globe,
absolutely.
Thank you. I love to act on the spot. Why not? What a great thing to do. So, just so you know, it's Watt Avenue. That's WATT for anyone who's being the armchair detective listening to the show.
Yes,
I think it's important to find that out. And then this goes into my theory a little more. So, at around 2:30 a.m., sheriff deputies spotted a masked man bicycling on the Watt Avenue Bridge, but he was able to elude them.
If I saw anybody, first off, if I saw anyone biking without a helmet, I'd be like, pull over.
Right.
This is bad. You are being dangerous, sir.
And on top of that, you have
a mask
on.
And he had warned the sheriff's department.
Right.
All of these things are
interesting. He warned the sheriff's department. Don't you think they would be covering?
Hyper-vigilant.
Absolutely. Okay. So I think it's important to know, this is where our bartender comes in a little bit more. Bartender lived right off of Watt Avenue.
Our bartender
who just served us a refill of our drink. I didn't know what that word was. Lived there at this time, and he actually knew kind of like that area and explained to us that there's a bunch of dirt trails that run along the American River.
Yes.
He was able to talk about these things. Now, if you remember listening to episode one, we did speculate if Matt was the killer.
Right, because of the small
rapist.
Penis. That was pretty much the main evidence that we had.
There was...
and we all agree that it could... He's still TBD.
There were reports.
It's potential.
It's alleged. There are reports of such things. So just something to note here is that, this is all checked and we know about, the geographical situation that's going on.
Yes, we have a real life person who has lived there.
So he was then located again at 4:30 a.m., this time by the city police. He discarded his bike and successfully fled on foot.
But
this goes back to my theory.
How?
How are now multiple policemen, multiple adults who were able to escape his grips... An FBI, are you the Joker?
Is he Alex Mack?
Is he turning
into like a liquid gas?
Magneto?
What is happening?
How are you able to just like run around on a bike and rape people and get away with it?
Yeah, is this Westworld? We're breaking into so many TV shows
and
I love it.
So many pop culture moments, yeah.
But
isn't this crazy? I mean, this completely backs up my theory. There has to be someone in a high level position
covering this up.
But
do you
think
you think it was an important ex police sheriff that went
maybe
he was the son of somebody somebody?
Yeah, there are so many different VIP type of personnel that work on cases.
Could be anyone.
It literally could be anyone. I mean, you have to think all the way down to politics and who knows,
the mayor,
whoever it could be. There must be some, in my opinion, in this theory, some connection that the police...
I don't understand how he keeps evading these people.
Well, especially, think about this. What better of a setup do you want to catch somebody? He's telling you where he's going to go.
Right.
He's telling you what time he's going to do it. He's on a bicycle. He escaped the house. FBI agent chasing him.
This is why this wouldn't have happened... in the age of social media, because wouldn't you think that phone call, hey, everyone living near or around Watt Avenue,
open your damn eyes
and try and see if you see a masked person on the loose.
We get those Amber Alerts on our phones now.
Exactly.
I mean, that could have been a great tactic back in the 70s if we all had cell phones. So, and we definitely mentioned this on the first episode from episode one, keep in mind it's the 70s. There isn't Google Maps. It's literally, pay phones and walkie-talkies, and that's pretty much it. So something to think about around this. And if you have theories about this too, please let us know. We would love to recap. If you agree with this theory, you don't agree with this theory, let us know. We would love to recap
the
thoughts.
Pieces are falling in place for this.
I agree.
And basically he just continues. He evades authorities. He continues to attack.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy that this keeps happening. But what I wanted to sort of mention here is there have been reports of a possible physical altercation on one of his last attacks. It was actually chronicled on the show Crime Watch Daily.
So an altercation being there was a scuffle, if you will.
Yeah, there was a little, there was a little scuffle. Yeah, a little mishmash.
Which, by the way, I think we should also mention, again, I don't mean to interrupt you, but now we're starting to see chronologically that he's not able to overcome his victims in the same way that he used to, you know?
He's getting a little bit older.
That's what I was wondering.
You know, he's done this a few times. Obviously, this is no easy feat.
Couples are now, you know, more aware maybe of how to protect themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
This is all hypothetical, but yeah.
So, and this was actually chronicled on Crime Watch Daily, but it seems as though a male victim, what we seem to know, may have charged him, and while the victim was shot through the cheek, it was non-fatal. So I'm assuming the East Area Rapist, you know, had terrible aim. Maybe his eyesight's going. He's getting a little older.
Right.
Hits him in the cheek. He survives this, which is how we know. But then the man ended up being bludgeoned to death near a closet area.
So beautiful.
I know, because they found a bunch of blood and tracks sort of leaving from the bathroom in the closet, and that's sort of how we know there was this scuffle going on. And shockingly enough, this is one of his last attacks. East Area Rapist didn't strike for 5 years after this.
5 years.
Which is kind of an interesting number. Like, it's it's so perfect. So, like, five. Like, what could that...
Are you ready for another theory? Are we there yet? Keep going.
I mean...
I just think...
Yes.
I think that 5 years is such an... Like you were just saying, like a solid number.
Right.
It makes me wonder if he was in jail.
Interesting.
Maybe, you know, if someone's getting away with all this murder, maybe he's robbing people.
But
maybe
does that line up with your he's protected theory? Or maybe they just got him off on a lower crime,
maybe
put him
not.
Away for a little bit. Look, give him a little time out.
I love a good conspiracy theory. I love coming up with crazy theories. They do not necessarily have to play with each other,
right.
My theories. But so I'm just wondering now, 5 years is just like a perfect time. Was he in jail? There's another theory.
Here's what I think.
Yeah, you have a different theory about this.
The reason I think it's 5 years is only because, well, it is 5 years, but the reason I think it was actually he was hurt in this crime, again, he's getting a little bit older, he's not doing it, is because once he started attacking again after
people,
5 years, he sort of reverted back to his original crimes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he would attack, the first attack that he did that was sort of his comeback, he attacked a teenager who was alone, which is obviously a more vulnerable, quote-unquote, easier victim than the couples he had been previously attacking for a long time.
Yeah.
So it sort of seems kind of odd that he went from, like, easy, difficult, back to easy. Like, unless he was hurt, maybe he... And he needed, like, to break away, sort of calm down, let everyone settle back into their nice ways, and then re-attack again. And so that's kind of why I think he sustained an injury.
Yeah, I mean, one other theory I'm thinking of just as we're talking, I'm like, you know, this guy obviously has very serious sexual... problems.
Right.
Could he have finally maybe found
a lady?
A girlfriend? Yeah.
Or a boyfriend.
Or a boyfriend, although he's been mainly attacking women, you know, to sort of take over that need, whatever it may be. And then potentially 5 years later, they break up and he's like,
all right,
I need this.
Would there be a woman out there who would date a guy with an unusually small penis?
Probably not.
So that theory's just tossed out the window
maybe
now.
Maybe nothing happened until 5 years later and then she was like, oh no, this isn't going to work. You have a small penis.
Yeah, I mean.
Time to go.
That would be my theory, you know what I mean?
So anyway, lots of different theories going on
These
here.
Are just ours, but there's actually more random theories and evidence that have sort of...
Like Reddit has tons of stuff
on this. Oh my God. Yeah. So people are endlessly debating about this on chat boards, on Reddit, on everywhere. I mean, this has been, again, Crime Watch Daily.
Yeah.
So the police actually brought in these bloodhounds to trace the scent. Bloodhounds have a very good sense of smell.
Mm-hmm.
Police dogs actually brought in... bloodhounds to trace the scent after one of these crimes.
Yeah.
And apparently...
This is so weird.
This is very odd. The bloodhounds reacted to the scent as if it wasn't a normal human scent.
Again, are you Magneto? Are you a mutant?
Are you Alex
Mack?
Like, what is going on?
Shout out to anybody who knows who Alex Mack is, because I feel like some
kids... in the 90s. Yeah. You gotta be a kid of the
90s. Kids listening to podcasts these days don't
know. If you YouTube Alex Mack, you'll feel very good. so... Given the fact that the dogs were reacting in such an odd way, it sort of led the police to theorize that he was either a heavy drug user, which could have masked the scent in some sort of odd way, or had a biochemical abnormality, a la Alex Mack, or disease.
Or a la, like, Two-Face from Batman.
Correct.
Imagine, you know, who's, like, half of his face was, like, leaking. Yeah, this really painted the picture in a way for me when I read this information that was unlike any of the other details, because I'm like... when you have a trained animal that's probably done this a zillion times.
Right. How many different like scents have they had to like sort out? I mean, these are essentially police dogs. I mean, these are professional dogs who are meant to do this for a living.
Yeah. It just really kind of freaked me out, this particular.
Yeah. The biochemical abnormality, you know, and that also might go with the fact that maybe if in theory your hypothetical situation was right, that he was being protected, mm-hmm. maybe that person wanted to protect him because he knew that he didn't mean to do this because it was, you know, whatever. Yeah. He had a sickness, he had a disease, he was a drug user, he was this, he was that.
Right.
I've been thinking about this for a while.
No, definitely. Or one more theory, because we just love a good theory apparently on the show. What if he knew that they would have drug sniffing dogs, or not drug, rather just, you know, sniffing dogs, and like kind of found some chemical that would throw them off, and like what, that was all part of his master plan.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe again, he's Alex Mack. Who knows?
It's like hiding fingerprints from a you know, a bloodhound. It's like wearing, it's like his own version of wearing latex gloves.
Yeah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Exactly.
It's interesting.
I mean, he's obviously a pretty, you know, pretty smart guy.
He's thought about
it. Yeah, he's definitely thought about it, premeditated.
Yeah, like an idiot savant when it comes to these, like, murders and rapes. And actually, these hounds actually trace this abnormal, odd scent along some railroad tracks to where they believe that he had parked his car.
His car, yeah.
And shockingly enough, found the car, several notebooks.
Well, the car wasn't there, right?
I
feel like the car wasn't there. Yeah, the car wasn't there.
So just found notebooks.
They just found the notebooks where a car had been.
Got it. So they must have seen tracks or something and knew that the car was there. So several notebooks were discovered. And they actually think that the notebooks may have fallen out of his vehicle. And so that's why.
Okay, so real quick, as we talk about this, because I think, you know, I'm playing this through my head. I'm like, what's the scenario? I picture him ditching his bike wherever that was, potentially. That's not fact. This is just hypothetical in my brain. Running through the woods, running to the railways, whatever.
Could this guy have been E.T.?
Could have been eaten. I was just going
to
say.
That's another theory that we have yet to present.
We do not have evidence, but it could happen.
He could be
eating Reese's Pieces.
Just saying.
And flying by the moon.
We know he loves a phone.
He does love a phone.
Something to think about.
Okay, that's a good point.
Yes.
However, let's go back to the theory of him running to railroad tracks.
Yeah.
So then I'm thinking, is there a getaway car? Because if there are notebooks and paperwork that are just left behind, I get the image in my head of him jumping in a back seat.
Like scrambling.
And scurrying into the seat, and then that stuff falls out, the car takes off, there's evidence left behind. Does that fit into your ET theory? I don't know, but
he could scramble into a basket on front of a bike or in a car and
that's
boom,
true.
Gone.
He's an alien. Who knows what
he's
capable
of. Well, the notebooks
of.
Were actually kind of odd, I seem to remember. And, I mean, they didn't have a name on them. Otherwise, this case would have been solved. So clearly they were anonymous notebooks, but we have some sort of our lovely producer, Matt, has pulled together some of these odd journal entries.
like one of the ones below here, it begins with mad is the word that reminds me of sixth grade.
Yes.
This is an entry into this notebook. Now, do you want to read this or do you want me to? This is literally from, we don't know if this is from the East Area Rapist. This is just in the notebook.
I'm going to use the best quotes of it because it is perfect. Kind of a long journal entry, but
okay, go for mad it. Is I'm the word drink, that take a couple
you're going to need to once you hear about this. Mad is a word that reminds me of sixth grade. I hated that year. Clearly, guys, not sixth grade was amazing. my sixth grade teacher gave me a lot of disappointments that made me very mad and made me build a state of hatred in my heart. No one ever let me down that hard before, and I never hated anyone as much as I did him. So, I mean, listen, I don't know if you've ever gone back through your journals that you've ever written or diaries. And like, I remember reading a journal entry that I said that I wish my brother would get leprosy. So there was, you know, you're a kid.
Did you even know what leprosy was?
It doesn't matter. I just wish he got it.
Yeah, it just sounded like something terrible that you would get.
Exactly. But in addition to this odd entry about him hating his sixth grade teacher, no leprosy of the brother, but sixth grade teacher, there was one piece of paper that had a hand-drawn map with the word punishment on it. And it's you kind of have a picture of it right in front of it. It's an aerial view.
Yeah.
It depicts a neighborhood or a subdivision. There isn't much specific detail. It's sort of like showing how the blocks go, you know, showing where the houses are, some trees. It's like if I lived in the neighborhood, I would draw this map. It's not like a cartographer made this or any sort of way.
To me, you know, I would think that somebody around the age of like 16 or above, because it's kind of detailed in a way that really you have to have thought about.
You'd have to know the neighborhood and have some sort of idea of spatial awareness
and
location awareness.
That's what I was trying to get at.
So punishment was written on this.
Yes.
But, which is interesting. Yeah. But in addition to punishment, was also these three words, come from Snelling, S-N-E-L-L-I-N-G, which it didn't seem, it's not like there was any sort of word that said that this map was Snelling. It just said, come from Snelling.
Right.
And Snelling, well, there's a bunch of things that Snelling could be. Snelling is actually a very tiny town in California,
which was not necessarily nearby, but in that vicinity of.
Yeah, it's like an outpost. It's so small. Right. I mean, I'm not even sure it has like a real population.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure it has some sort of like school district.
Yeah.
It's that tiny. It's actually halfway between Sacramento, which is where the East Area Rapist started, and this town called.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And this town called Visalia. Now, the interesting thing about Visalia. I'm getting the resident Californian over here.
Look, he lived there.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
he knows.
True.
He's going to tell us if we don't know.
Visalia. So some people believe, and the FBI has actually said this is likely, right?
Yeah.
That he started out as the Visalia ransacker, which is just another name to add to the mix, but it's important here.
Yeah, it's an important part because the Visalia ransacker. Sorry, I just want to make sure I got the part. We don't want to get this
he's
podcast
already spit in my martini
shut
once,
down
so,
on
yes.
episode two.
Exactly.
he said he's not wearing any pants. Mm-hmm. Very Winnie the Pooh. This Visalia ransacker burglarized about 80 homes in 74 and 75, which puts him, this guy, you know, in the early 70s, even earlier than when he was attacking in Sacramento.
Because that sort of happened in 76 and a little bit later. So this was the first of him being
known. So, you know, this Visalia ransacker ended his crime spree in Visalia by attempting to drag a 15-year-old girl out of her home late at night. Her father woke up and tried to intervene and was shot to death. And what was his name?
That guy's name was Claude Snelling.
So there's a couple different things going on here. We got a guy named Claude Snelling.
We have the town of Snelling, which is halfway between Sacramento and Visalia.
So it's just, you know, there's nothing really more to talk about around that because those are just coincidences, things that happen.
It's an odd coincidence, but the fact that it said punishment come from Snelling, I mean, it all works out in sort of the time frame just because the Visalia ransacker happened just months before the East Area Rapist. Again, we're assuming here that these guys are the same people, began to strike.
Right.
So the timing absolutely works out.
And it's just too much of a coincidence. I mean, whenever I first saw the map, I was like, okay, it says come from Snelling. It seems like that's almost a direction, you know? Like,
right.
This is the view as you come from Snelling is how I would interpret that. But then I'm like, well, did he draw this map after he shot Claude Snelling? Like, you know what I mean? There were all these different thoughts about what it could potentially mean.
Yeah, Snelling isn't, like, it's such a weird noun or yeah. word in any sort of way that right. it has to relate to it. And like, you wouldn't just put that.
Well, that too. And the other thing that we should mention is that the map is not necessarily of the town of Snelling.
No,
they were never really able to figure out what the map is of. So you can't really say it's Snelling. You can't say it's a town nearby.
It's too basic. Like right. it's specific in the sense of like they have the streets and the buildings cordoned right. off, but it's too basic a drawing yeah. to real. I mean, you could probably pin this now, to any town USA.
I was just going to say, you know, I went straight to Google Earth.
Yeah.
I went to Snelling, California, and I was like, I'm going to find this damn neighborhood.
And anything
and
in there?
Nothing happened. No, I'm yeah. too stupid to use Google Maps.
If Google Maps solved this case and got us $50,000, I mean, then we're right. smarter than the FBI.
Right, because in case you didn't know, you guys listening, we are trying to solve this to get the $50,000 reward to upgrade our podcast equipment and to pay off student loans.
Just for that. Just for those reasons. To upgrade the podcast equipment.
So yeah, that's pretty much it around the East Area Rapist. That's what we know. And if you guys have
it's still unsolved, people.
If you guys have theories or, you know, evidence.
Just one more thought that just popped into my mind, given it's come from Snelling and we were talking about a possible like getaway car, hence the reason the notebooks.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe the Visalia Ransacker, East Area Rapist.
Yeah.
These were two of the same person. Like two people acting as, because I mean, you get two potentially brothers, potentially friends who are of the same build, of the same athletic.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the DNA evidence apparently is linking to one person, but you do have to, this is what I was going back to, I think in the first episode or early on in this episode, which was like, how is it possible that one person has eluded? Are you like the Banksy of murderers? Are you a team of people that go under one name? You know, what exactly is going on here?
And maybe, when I said two of the same, I didn't mean that both of them necessarily were doing it, but one was always waiting in the wings.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
To, you know, come from Snelling. Oh. That's where he came from. That's how. I don't know. Just something to think
like
about.
Like, almost like come from Snelling was like a direction to somebody else. Saying
that's where we came from. This is something to, you know, it's a little lullaby for you to go to bed and think about.
Exactly. And come back in another episode and tell us what you think. Well, okay, that's it for our coverage.
We want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah,
though,
we
obviously.
Definitely want to hear us. You can tweet to us at jthrasher is who I am.
I'm at Carpe Darren.
And, you know, we will highlight some of your theories. If you have a really good theory in a future episode, even if we're not covering the East Area Rapist, we would love to feature it on the show. We want to have feedback. Feel free to rate us in the iTunes store on, you know, online, on SoundCloud, wherever.
Each week, though, we're going to be covering a new murder.
Exactly.
So stick with us.
Absolutely.
And hopefully we can get a reward out of this for something. Otherwise, what's it all worth?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, Matt's going to shut us down if we don't say Visalia. So just so you know, we're on the edge as it is. Also, I wanted to mention for more crazy crime and murder related stories, be sure to follow Crime Time on Facebook at facebook.com/crimetimeweekends and Twitter at Crime Time. That's our oxygen.com crime blog full of the latest stories. And one more thing, don't miss new episodes of It Takes a Killer every Friday at 11:10 Central and Snapped on Sundays at 6:05 Central with an encore of that same episode playing later that night at 9:08 Central.
That seems very, very nice. Look at a little button just to finish on. I love it.
All right. Thank you, Matt, for this week's
refill. Yeah, thank you, Matt,
refill.
For getting us drunk and refill and olives and everything and for correcting my pronunciations.
All right. We'll see you guys next week with an all-new murder, all kinds of new gory details coming your way.
Hopefully a bigger penis next week.
Let's hope so. All right. See you guys next week.
Bye.